Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. We pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would know what you do, in fact, dearly love us more than we can imagine, and that your power at work in us accomplishes more than we can imagine. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things we do is we go to the new chapters, we give thanks for all the blessings that we've had in that stage of life. And so I do give thanks for all the blessings that you've given to me while I've been here, your kindness and your love and your prayers and your support and your putting up with my own weaknesses, struggles, and whatever it might be. And letting me share your life and get to know you, spend time with you. And our focus today, as you know, is on Ephesians 3, is prayers, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It's my prayer for you. And let's read that together one more time. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's not only Paul's will for his people, but it's God's will for you. When you think about, as a parent, what would you want to have your children know the most? As they grow up, I would hope it would be that they would know that you love them and that you care for them more than they could know. As a spouse, I hope that would be your prayer for your spouse. In friendships, with family. We all know it's not always easy. And that's why it's good to stop and look back, to be encouraged by what God has to say. We'll just go through it, verse by verse here. The first two verses, of course, Paul is talking about how he goes to the Lord in prayer. He bows his knees. The symbol of mercy, right? Symbol of submission. Who is he looking up to for help? To the Lord. But according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Right away, he goes right to the source, doesn't he? But in our inner being, on our own, there's nothing that we can do to produce anything good for the kingdom of God or for God. Even if the world says it's good, In God's eyes, we can't do anything pleasing to Him. Because God knows all of our secrets. He knows all of our sins. He knows our condition. Our only hope is that God's Holy Spirit would revive and give us the power. The power so that we approach the Lord Christ in faith. Something that we can't grasp on our own, and something that we can't claim on our own. This love, this faith in Christ. But yet, through the Spirit, it's possible. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, in verse 17. Notice how they interchange the word Spirit and Christ. It's the same thing. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the presence of Christ dwelling in you. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Romans calls God's love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is literally God's love poured into our hearts. When Christ and the Spirit dwells in our hearts through faith, what do we have? We have love. We have the love of Christ. That roots us and grounds us. Maybe you've heard that expression before. I'm guessing you've heard it before. The love of Christ. Right? You might think, well, I know that. The Ephesians certainly knew that. Right? They're Christians. He's writing to the saints in Ephesus. But yet, there's certain things that you can know and not know completely. There's people that you can know, but then they do something or say something that you would never have expected. Or they forgive you when you never would have expected it. They stay with you when you would never have expected it. They show up for you at a time you didn't expect. They show a side of themselves that you didn't know. And it's wonderful. In the same way, we're all here today because in some way or fashion we know the love of Christ has touched our hearts. But yet, God's prayer is that we come to the fullness of that love. And we see the purpose of Paul's prayer in verse 19 is to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is the point of everything. This is why he prays for the Spirit. This is why Christ dwells in our hearts. This is why Christ comes to the cross. This is why he dies and rises again, so that we know him personally, intimately, and all of its wonderful goodness and glory and joy. That is God's purpose. Being rooted and grounded in love. How many of our actions are not grounded in love? It's one of those things, like we said, you can know. But then again, as we look at our lives and our hearts and our actions and our words, we see we still have a lot to know. We have a lot to learn. Including myself. Including every single person here. Because this love isn't the love of culture. It's not the love that pushes things aside when it gets tough. It's not a love of reciprocation where I'll love you if you love me.
for all of you if you are good to me and can give me something in return. It's not a love of simple tolerance and, hey, just do whatever you want. It's not a love of, I'm just going to be a cruel taskmaster and tell you everything you should do. It's a love of grace, a love of truth, a love that is steadfast, regardless of any circumstance, regardless of what was spoken, regardless of what was said, or felt, or experienced. It's a love that stays there, that continues to be what it is, because that's who he is. This love is a person. It's Jesus. That's the love that Paul prays for. That's the love that I pray for myself and for you. And it's the only love that can bring growth to a congregation and to a sinful heart. It's to know the love of Christ. And as we go in our lives into the unknown, into the things that we may be afraid of experiencing and worrying about, what the new year will bring, challenges in our family and at school, or at college, another year, or with a health concern, or with money, we have something to bring us through and to face anything. That's the love of Christ. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. In some way you can never know it in all of its fullness. It just becomes more and more beautiful as you come to know it. Something you can't grasp in your own natural human mind. Something that the Spirit reveals to you. The breadth and length and height and depth. That literally it's bigger and wider than any love that you know. So often we only love the people that are like us, right? The people that look like us. We're in the same economic status as us. Yet God's love is for the whole world. For every single person, every single terrorist, every single enemy. Every single starving person. Every single stuck-up rich person. Every single politician. God loves them with the same love that he loves you and that he loves me. The breadth, the length, it goes on and on and on, and it doesn't end. Unlike us, where we easily throw in the towel, and it can easily turn to hate just from one thing. Somebody says, or you don't like the way it was said, and all of a sudden you hold it against that person. Not with Jesus. His love goes on and on and on. Forever. The height. But it's higher and better than any other love that you know and experience. And the depth of that love, that it goes deeper than any love, that it's so deep that God was willing to do whatever it took in order to have you know his love. He is willing to sacrifice himself in a cruel death on a cross, innocently, and to take all of your punishment for all the sins, even that you didn't even know that you did. He took all of it. That's how deep his love was. He gave up his only son. And experienced death as someone who lives forever. Made himself nothing. Gave it all up. And that's because that's the depth of his love. And when we're rooted and grounded in love, what happens is it obviously affects our actions and our words, right? And as we know the love of Jesus, it changes the way we act and it changes the way we experience. As we experience new things, we come to know Christ's love in a new and better way. You see this in the ways that you love other people. You just think about, what in the world? It is so difficult to love this person right now. How could I possibly do that? Or in the love that you receive from somebody else, how could they possibly still love me? After all I've done. And maybe you say, it's not possible. But then you think about it, that for as difficult as it is for just you, this one person, to love one person, just one person sometimes. And yet the depth of the love of Jesus is that he loves so intensely every single person who's ever been created and will be till the end of time. For hard as it is to forgive somebody, Christ forgives all of your sins and says it's done. And won't hold a single thing against you. And they did that for the entire world. For hard it is to be steadfast, Christ remains steadfast for every single person. And as we love one another, we get glimpses of that love that Jesus gives to us. That helps us to know that he's real, that he's alive today. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is God? He's love. He's light. It's when we love that we are filled again with his fullness of his character and his presence. And finally, he gives a declaration of praise to God that he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. There's a power again. And to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Who is the person that is going to accomplish what you want to accomplish this year, starting tomorrow? Who is the person that's going to be able to do good things, impossible things? What is the power that you need? What is the faith that you're relying on for this next year? What is the hope that you're building upon? He is able. You see anywhere in this prayer about ourselves? If we look at it, it's all focused on the power and the love of God. That is how, as a church, we do what is unimaginable and unthinkable, because God takes over and he does what only he can do. And in order for that to happen, we need to let go of our control and let go of our bitterness and anger against Him. And let go of trying to always prevent His word from searching our heart. And letting it reveal our sins and our challenges and our weaknesses. So that Christ can come to each one of us and say, you know what? I love you even there. I love you even for that that you don't even want to mention or that nobody knows about. I still love you even there. My love even reaches to the depths of the darkest parts of your heart. In your hardest pride. It's then when He is in control, and when we see His love and what He can do, that we then start to see His great power at work. So my prayer for you is that you would not lose faith, you would not lose heart, that you would not lose hope because of bad things that have happened here or rough times in your life. Because one thing has remained constant through it all, and that's the love of Jesus and the power of God. That will never change. So build upon that this new year. On the love and power and presence of God. And knowing that, that allows us to depart in peace, like Simeon. So looking at the love of Jesus, we see the salvation that we have longed for and yearned for. Eternal life, forgiveness, that has come and is with us. And gives us peace. Now, I can go out into whatever is before me. I can face whatever is before me because God is with me. And His power and His love is for me and working for me and through me. So in this next year, believe that promise of God's love and rely on it and trust in it, hope in it. And don't give up until you see what God can do. Don't give up until you see Him do what you didn't think He could do. And we know that in Christ, there is no such thing as a goodbye. There is only see you later. See you later. If not sometime on this earth, then in the next, we'll have eternity to catch up. You can say, remember when He gave that sermon? Well, I couldn't believe what God did that year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, help us to know the fullness of Your love, to desire it above all else, to draw strength from it, to be rooted and grounded in it. And knowing that and the power of Your resurrection, Lord, may we depart in peace. For our eyes have seen Your salvation, which You have prepared for the sight of all people. A light to the Gentiles and the glory of Your people Israel. In the name of Jesus, Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord.